Pumsam.
Pumsam.
Sadhyat. Tamam.
Tamam.
Manye.
Manye.
Dandam.
Dandam.
Arhat. Tamarpitam.
Arhat. Tamarpitam.
Yam.
Yam.
Na.
Na.
Mata.
Mata.
Pita.
Pita.
Brata.
Brata.
Suri. Surdhas.
Suridhas.
Chadishanti.
Chadishanti.
Hi.
Hi.
Pungsam sakyat. Tamam manye.
Pungsam sakyat. Tamam manye.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Surdhaschadishanti.
Surdhaschadishanti.
Pungsam slagyam tamam manye.
Pungsam slagyam tamam manye.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Yam namata pitham brata.
Yam namata pitham brata.
Surdhaschadishanti.
Surdhaschadishanti.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Pungsam slagya tamam manye.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Dandam arhat tamarpitam.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Yam namata pitha brata.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Sukhridaschadishanti.
Pungsam,
Pungsam
of men,
of men.
Slagya tamam,
Slagya tamam.
The most exalted,
the most exalted.
Manye,
Manye.
I consider,
I consider.
Dandam,
Dandam.
Punishment,
punishment.
Aratama arpitam,
Aratama arpitam.
Given by you,
given by you.
The supreme worshipful Lord,
supreme worshipful Lord.
Yam,
Yam.
Which,
which.
Na,
Na.
Neither.
Mata.
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 Mother.
Mother.
Pita.
Pita.
Father.
Father.
Brata.
Brata.
Brother.
Brother.
Suridha.
Suridha.
Friends.
Friends.
Cha.
Cha.
Sir. Adishanti.
Adishanti.
Offers.
Offers.
He.
He.
Indeed.
Indeed.
Translation. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinates like this. But because you are the most worshipful of the Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. Please repeat. Although a father,
although a father,
mother, brother,
mother, brother,
or friend,
or friend,
may sometimes punish one,
sometimes
as a well-wisher,
as a well-wisher,
they never punish their subordinate,
they never punish their subordinate
like this,
like this.
But because you are the most worshipable Lord,
but because you are the most worshipable Lord,
I regard the punishment,
I regard the punishment
you have given me,
given me
as most exalted,
as the most exalted.
He was speaking. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead was superficially seen to have acted mysteriously towards Bali Maharaj. But it says, Vamana led, Lord Vamana led, speaking to Bali Raj. Bali Maharaj was fixed in his determination to consider himself not to have fulfilled his promise. He spoke as follows. Bali Maharaj said, the best personality of Godhead, most worshipful for all the demigods, if you think that my promise has become false, I shall now certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. I cannot allow my promise to be false. Please therefore place your third lotus footstep on my head. Text 3, which is no purple font. I do not fear being deprived of all my possessions, living in hellish life, being arrested for poverty by the ropes of Varuna, or being punished by you, as much as I fear defamation. Although Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he could not tolerate being defamed for cheating a Brahmana, Brahmachari. Being quite alert in regard to his reputation, he thought deeply about how to prevent being defamed. The Lord therefore gave him the good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. A Vaishnava does not fear any punishment. Narayana Parasa Savena Kutashchana Vibhati. Bhagavatam 6:17-28. Text 4. Although a father, mother, brother, or friend may sometimes punish one as a well-wisher, they never punish their subordinates like this. But because you are the most worship of the Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as the most exalted. Punishment meted out by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is accepted by the devotee as his greatest mercy. That day will come from Shusham Ikshmanam. Punjana Devatma Kritam Vipakam. Vipag Vapuri Bihi Pitatam Namaste. Jivetayo Mukti Padesa Tayapak. Translation, one who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past deeds, who always engages in your devotional service with his mind, body, words, and who always offers obeisances, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:14:8. A devotee knows that so-called punishment by the Supreme Personality of Godhead is only his favor to correct his devotee and bring him to the right path. Therefore, the punishment awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead cannot be compared even to the greatest benefit awarded by one's material father, mother, brother, or friend. Maam Shintaya Krishna Prashtaya Tadayas Mukti Bhakti Gyanta Swamiti Namani Namaste Sarasati Devi Gaurvani Pacharani Nevi Sheshe Shandavari Pashtya Desi Karani. So, this chapter titled Bali Maharaj surrenders his life. Lord Vishnu appeared to trick Bali because he is very powerful. The demigods could not defeat him. I believe the demigods had made an offense to their guru, Brihaspati, Indra, by neglecting him. Indra was in court, fabulous opulence, he's the king of heaven. The musicians are there, the dancers are there, and he's being worshipped nicely, and his guru came in, Brihaspati, I think it was the occasion. He failed to stand up and recognize him, honor him probably. But then he walked out. And then he realized, oh, I made a big mistake. So for that offense, he lost all his piety, the Vaishnava. Either that, or someone gave him a garland and he gave it to the elephant, and the elephant threw it. I can't remember. But anyway, they made an offense. I may be overlapping two stories here, but anyway, I tell you. The demons, Sukacharya, who's the demigod, the guru of the demons, He said, now's your chance. He said, they lost the favor, they lost the mercy of Guru. That means they lost the mercy of Krishna. So now's your chance. So they began to worship Krishna very nicely. And then it became powerful. And the demigods, they were being defeated. So they went to Krishna and said, Bhai Man, help us, please help us. They come. He said, they're worshipping me better than you. I gotta favor them. They're doing better worship than you. Because that time they're bereft of the mercy of the Guru. But anyway, whatever story it was, the demons were in, Bali was in charge, in control. And so the Lord said, don't worry, I'll come. I'll check him. We can't defeat him, but I'll check him. So then he came as a beautiful boy, dwarf, charming little boy, beautiful, intelligent, with thunder and deer skin, so sweet. My fault, on the appearance day of Ananda, we have one little boy, different every year, and a jersey mat with a deer skin, and a kusha grass mat, and a dunder. And then at the Bhog Arati time, when they blow the conch, and Radha Madhava's curtains open, he's standing there on the front of the altar with a dunder. And then they help him down, sit him on the Vyasa San, and wash his feet. And then offer arati. Offer arati to him, and then feed him a whole plate of maha. Radha Madhava's maha prasad, he gets a whole plate. On another plate. And then they feed him. The devotees feed him that way. So when it says, when a child dresses as Krishna, you can understand Krishna is personally there. I think Sri Prabhupada said we could do that first. I don't know where it's written, but he said we can do that. So Rama made it so sweet. It's so sweet. Vamadeva, Krishna, and Miranda, they exhibit, they have that quality of beauty. So it's so sweet boy, charming, complete. Nobody fears a child, right? There's nothing to lose from a child. Because we don't feel any threat from a child when it approaches us. Anyone else comes up to us, we think, what do they want? And try to figure out their anger. Because everyone wants something, right, from us. Or we want something for somebody else, a material platform. But a little boy, a little child, we have no fear. So this is my dear boy, Brahman, O Brahmana, O Venerable Brahmana, stands up, offers a bit of holy etiquette, washes his feet, I respect him. What can I give you? He comes before the king, and he says, give me three places of land. I can give you an island. Why, you're a foolish boy, you're not much intelligence. I'm the king, I'm the emperor. You come to the emperor and ask, It's not very intelligent. I give you an island. Is this? I'm a brahmachari. If I'm not satisfied with three places of land, I will be satisfied with an island. Very well. Then Shivacharya, then to confirm it, he's pouring water. But that's who? He's pouring water from his kamandalu. And Vyaspati, Sukhacharya is a guru. Said, don't do it. That's Vishnu. Yeah. It's frozen. He said, that's Vishnu. He's going to cheat you. Don't do it. He said, well, all the scriptures say, we say, Vishnu is the ultimate, we should worship Vishnu. He said, why are you telling me not to worship? No, in emergency, you don't have to. He'll take everything away. You have to lose your intelligence. He'll take everything from you, you see. Be careful. Don't do it. So then but he said, no, I'll do it. He did it anyway. So he disobeyed the order of Guru. So therefore he had to go to hell. Disobeyed the order of Guru. So this is what Bali did when he took Bhavamande, then he took the three paces, then he expanded himself. One step covered the whole planet, all the planetary systems. Whole earth. Then the second step, he did the whole planetary system, so his toe pierced the covering of the universe, his toe went up, and a drop of water fell in from the causal ocean. And that water is coming down, still coming down, to what we see, the Milky Way, that's being carried by elegant swans and golden pots. It comes down to the Himalayas here, it comes down to Gomukh, it goes down to the Bay of Bengal, comes through here, and purify it down to the Bay of Bengal. Then it goes into the ocean, it goes down in the ocean, it goes down to the subterranean planets. Just see the cosmology, how big, how small we are. This is one drop of water millions of years ago, still coming. Just trying to see our size in comparison to the very, very small. So therefore we do puja, we offer puja to the ancestors. If they've gone to the lower regions, because Ganges goes everywhere, it's all the planetary systems. Straight to Ganges, Mandakini in the heavenly planet. Then we offer the puja or the pinda to the Ganga. We offer prasad to the ancestors, and that Ganga takes it to wherever they go. If they go to a lower birth, then it takes them there. But anyway, so then he said, so where am I going to put my third step? I've only had two steps. And Bali said, put it on my head. He completely surrendered. So Bali is one of our Mahajans. He's one of the authorities of spiritual life. Because he actually is the example of complete surrender. As he surrendered his head. And then Bhamadev pushed him down to the pyramid. To? Where is he? Sutala? Anyone know? Sutala? It's like this Bilbaswak. It's heavenly. It's not suffering in that place. It's not like Patala. It's very sensual. But there's maybe no light from the sun, but the light's from the jewels. And everything. It's a very central place, you can enjoy it there. But not only that, then Vamadev, Vishnu, personally came there and he stands as a doorman. He's a chokidar for, because Bali's a king down that place. And Vamadev stands as his doorman, isn't that sweet? Not as Vamadev, as Vishnu, to protect. So nice. Because Bali surrendered everything to Pikami surrenders, then Vishnu also surrendered to him. That's Krishna says, right? As you surrender unto me, I will reciprocate accordingly. I'll deal with you the same. Bali surrendered everything, so Vishnu became his servant. What could he do? So that's Krishna. That's how wonderful Krishna is. He doesn't misuse his position of God. He's a very, very, very fair person, very loving person. Never could you find such a friend in the material world who would do such a thing for us, right? Nor would we think of doing that for somebody else. Becoming somebody's mean servant. Because that's out of love. Because he's devoted out of at least must mean some affection there, because he was very beautiful around him. Anyway, that was the story. So Brahma Hari he did. So now Bali is praying. Now he's just caught him and they tied him up. they catch it, Bali. So now he's asking, I promise you three steps. If you think I'm telling a lie to a Brahmana, which is very serious, then I should certainly rectify matters to make it truthful. So therefore, please place your third footstep on my head. I do not fear all my possessions being taken away or living a hellish life. Being arrested for poverty by the robes of Varuna, or being punished by you as much as I fear defamation. He means a very, very righteous king. Although he was born in a family of demons, he was still a very good person. Just like his ancestor was Prahlad Maharaj, also born in a family of demons. Prahlad was a pure devotee. The body was a very, very pious person, although he was born in that race of demons. It's like we're born in the race of Malecha and Yavana, or less, but still we become very pious. even though we've been born outside of the cultured Aryan civilization, Varnashrams. Still, we can purify by samskara, by proper training, by the mercy of the devotees. So he said, I don't want to break my word to Brahma. I don't care about anything else, but I don't want to be, I don't want that over my head, that I've broken my word to a Brahma. Defamation. It says in the Mahabharata, the only, when you're left, when you die, the only thing left is your reputation. Right? You have a good reputation, and you'll live forever with a good reputation. So then Bali was thinking deeply, how can I stop this defamation? I'm stuck now. There's nowhere else for him to put. There's no space left. He's covered everything. And then it says here, the Lord gave him good counsel to prevent defamation by offering his head. It probably means, I'm not sure because it probably means as a super soul, Krishna inspired him to, you know, offer your head, offer your life, offer your head to put that free. It sounds like that. I can't remember the complete story. But he says the Lord therefore gave him the good counsel. So it wasn't Vamanadeva said, you know, Vamanadeva said, where do I get my third step? Where do I put that? There's no space left to put it. Then he said, so I guess it's from the inside. Then he said, off of my head. And now he's saying, you know, one of your family members, even your parents, they may punish one as a well-wisher. And you're a well-wisher, but still, nobody gets this kind of punishment. You know, after all, I'm the emperor of the world, the universe, practically. I haven't done much wrong. nobody gets a punishment like this. You know, you're stripped of everything, taking everything away. For an emperor, that's a big thing, taking everything away. Not only that, you're arrested and tied up and humiliated. He hasn't even gone down to the he doesn't even know what's coming next. But he's saying here, I don't fear living in hellish life. But I don't want that defamation. But anyway, whatever it is, even it seems really terrible, but I know, because you are the Supreme Lord, most worshipful Lord, I regard the punishment you have given me as most exalted. So you understand, Mahajan, you understand all this. And Srila Prabhupada is quoted this Tattayam Kampam verse and the Srimad Bhagavatam verse, two verses like this. Mukti Dayabhat, that the person, a devotee, who seeks your compassion and tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to karma of his past deeds, who engages always in your devotional service with mind, breath, words and body, and who always offers obeisances to you, is certainly a bona fide candidate for liberation. So this very important topic, actually, that because the material world is, we have all kinds of reverses, right? All kinds of, due to our previous karmas, we're still in the material world, we didn't surrender to Krishna in our last birth, so we got another chance, we're thrown back in the material world, forced back into the material world, into another material body, to go through those tribulations to bring us to our proper senses, that we have to surrender to the Lord if we actually want to become free from the samsara. So the devotee understands this. As devotees, we understand, and we should take it to heart. We should try to realize it, that we are suffering due to our own previous activities. We can't blame anyone for our reverses in life. Because this material world, it's just fixed. It's just karma. There's no luck or chance material. Everything is mechanical under the laws of karma. It can be adjusted a little bit. No, just like, you know, if you go to the Jyotish and he'll tell you've got a problem coming up at this particular time, you know. Don't waste your time going that direction, you won't achieve it, or this is a very bad time to do it. So you should wear some stole and do some puja, chant some mantra. So then that karma is coming like that, and that will offset it. But it'll go around and come in another way. It may minimize a bit. It'll change from Adi Agni to Adi Devi or Adi Bhakti, but you're not going to stop. You can minimize, you can modify it. Instead of getting a big kick, pow, you get a few slaps. More slaps. A lot of slaps instead of one. So you can't really change the destiny of the material world. Of course, Krishna can change it, because he's working under his direction. It's his program. So he can just adjust. All he has to do is not even say anything. Just give a nod to Maya Devi, Devi Devi. Leave this one, I'll take care of it. And that's all. And then even for those devotees that are completely surrendered, you see their lives will be like this also. Right? You see, Prabhupada, we can't say that he wasn't a pure surrendered soul, Krishna and Guru. But still look at the troubles we have to face in life. And that's partly because he's an acharya, so he has to come down to the mountain platform so he can experience what we're experiencing, otherwise he can't relate to this. So he has to experience his tribulations and pains and things like that. Because he comes to show us that, you know, he's going through and he's tolerating. He probably never spoke, never complained about this, although towards the end of his life, he was in very, very great pain with his knees and his kidneys and so on. On the aeroplane, sitting like that for hours, it was really painful. But he never spoke about it, practically. At the time he had to At the time of Prabhupada's leaving his body, he hadn't eaten for months. For months. So he was just skin and bone. In fact, one of the devotees who was looking after him at that time, he said, when I picked Prabhupada up, my hands, I could touch my hands around his thighs. That's how big he was, his thighs. And the doctor there, the Ayurvedic doctor, the devotee, he said, normally a person cannot live in this condition. It's too painful because all the nerves, there's nothing to protect them. The nerves are right on the bone with the skin. It's too painful to live. He said, normally it's too painful to live. There's no complaint. He told one sannyasi when he came in like that, he said, don't think this won't happen to you. He said, I always remember. That's coming. So then we accept it. If you accept it as Krishna's mercy or as a result of your karma, we can't really know for ourselves. But generally the acharyas are saying, due to my sinful activities, because of their humility, they generally won't say it's Krishna's arrangement. Because Krishna says, those who surrender to me, they come under the protection of my divine energy. They're not under the control of the material energy. So even if Krishna does take charge, it may seem as if your life is going exactly how it's supposed to go. You may go through those same things. But obviously the troubles and the pain will be minimized to some degree. So we can't really know, but anyway, we say it's due to my sinful activities, due to my being separate mentality from not surrendering to Krishna, not agreeing with the way Krishna wanted me to live in this life. I made my own program, therefore I've had to come back and straighten my consciousness out again. Now, if you want to get out of this world, you've got to follow the program to get out. That's given by Krishna. If you're rebellious, then okay, come do it again. You've got to be a sincere candidate. You have to really, you have to really want them. You really have them, and the consciousness also has to be pure. The desire has to be pure. That is actually Krishna's pleasure that I want. Of course, if you have if you design your own pleasure, you can also become go to the spiritual world, but not from down. Because you can have those five kinds of opulences, which is self-interest. You can live on the same planet as the Lord, enjoy the same opulences, have the same bodily features as the Lord. Yeah? Those kind of opulences are available. And that's perfection also. But you don't get to Vrindavan if you're still concerned with your own well-being. that the entrance price to Braj is love of Krishna. That we go there because we love Krishna and we want to serve him. But in any case, he said we should tolerate all kinds of adverse conditions due to our karma and accept it as a mercy of the Lord, because it is a mercy of the Lord. We come here, we have this mentality of the Lord to be the Ishvara, the controller and the enjoyer. Right? We want to manipulate our life, manipulate our lives, manipulate the world around us in such a way that we'll be trouble free. In other words, I want to control my environment. And everyone's doing that. Can't avoid it because it's a painful situation, so you've got to endeavor at least for the basic principles, minimum basic principles like eating, sleeping, and defending, and then enjoying you could possibly renounce, but you can't renounce eating, sleeping, and defending. You can minimize them, but you can't really renounce them, we're forced to them. It's a difficult place. So at the more materialistic we become, then the bigger that field becomes. No, we want to defend really nicely, and we want to eat very nicely, and we want to sleep very nicely, and we want to enjoy very nicely. We make these things that are forced on us, we're trying to turn them into pleasurable things, which are actually function, impositions. So we're taking, as Prabhupada said, two kinds of people here. One is trying to enjoy the suffering, trying to turn the suffering into enjoyment, and one is trying to become free from it. Means the karmas and the gyanis. The gyanis are trying to control, and the karmas trying to enjoy. So that's what we have in this. That's why pure devotional service is free from those two tendencies. Nyavilasi asunya, karma, gyan. So one should give up those two. It's very difficult to give up that propensity to control, because it's a fearful situation. Hunger, thirst, lamentation, fear from other living entities, from nature. We're in a very precarious situation. We're in a fix. I mean, really in a fix in this material world. And if you want to get out, you better believe what Krishna says, because we're not going to get ourselves. But we've got to realize we're in a fix. We're in a mess here. Difficult situation. So instead of trying to control the mess, control that material energy, the pressure, that's mostly what we spend our time on. Most of our life we're doing that. Defending and sleeping. And we're mostly doing that, trying to keep the problems away. Isn't it? Most of your life. You're working all day for what? So you can eat, you have a place to live, some clothes to wear. This is the only thing. You have to do this. You're forced to do it. So we have to work all day to that. So most of the life is spent on defense. But actually what we want is happiness, enjoyment. The other three things you're forced to do, but they take most time. at the end of the day, you get a few hours where you can have a bit of free time. So it's very difficult not to. You've got to, to some degree, you have to defend. And there's your perfectly self-realized lake, yeah? Jalarad, the Python Man, which we're reading about all the time. But they don't make any endeavor to protect themselves. They just accept what's coming along, because they know they're not going to, the happiness and distress, which is what the endeavors are all about, to avoid distress and engage in happiness, that's already fixed. The amount of happiness and the amount of distress is already fixed. That's coming from your previous pious activities and your previous impious activities. However much stuff you have, however much facility you have, it doesn't guarantee any more happiness or any less distress. So even if you become a billionaire, you're still going to have the same amount of problems coming in different ways. The tax man, people want to steal from you, or you may get some disease. You're not going to get any less distress, but and any more happiness, but we're thinking like that. That's why we want to change our position, change our job, change our ashram, change the country, change. Right? We improve, we go to Bukulam, we live in Hawaii. It's the same mind that's going with you, it's the same karma that's going with you. You're not shaking that up, you see. So facility is just a means of expressing your karma. So he says, the devotee, you have to tolerate all these adverse conditions. And in the meantime, we're seeking compassion, we're seeking the mercy of the Lord, at the same time we tolerate. So probably we live simply. Live simply, it means live easy. Simply means easy living. Simple living doesn't mean living under a tree. Simple living means you don't work hard to live on a standard because someone else is living on that standard. I should live on that standard. This person is driving this car, I should get this car. Why should I drive this old car? I should have that. Or he's got this kind of position, I should have that kind of position. He's got a bigger house. I should have to live like that. That's mine. And then you're working hard for that. So that one should be satisfied in any position. It's not that one did, you know, simple living doesn't mean, you know, you're going to eat boiled subject or live under a tree. No, if your karma is going to come. Ambarish Das, Albert Ford. Yes, he's a rich man. He's a heritage of Ford Company. So he has houses, many houses, all over the place. Many cars, many servants. But his life is simple. But that's his karma. So not that he has to give up that sin. Why should he? That's his karma. He's got all that facility. But he's living simply. For him, for his standard, he's born in luxury. That's simple life, you see. So it doesn't mean artificial renunciation. It means you're not working hard to get something. Whatever's coming. Just like Jabalat, not the Python man. Anyway, the Python man, Prahlad Maharaj, when he was a king, when Prahlad was king, King Prahlad, he went on a tour of his country to seek out the nature of the saintly persons. And he found this person, he came across this person laying on the floor. And he asked, "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm laying on the floor." He said, "I know, I can see that." "What are you doing?" He said, "I'm doing anything." He said, "Well, how do you live? Whatever comes on. How do you eat?" He said, "Well, whatever. The leaves, if I'm hungry, I'll eat the leaves which blow past." But he said, "You look very healthy, quite happy." He said, "Yeah, I'm not always like this." And sometimes people take me and they take me to the house and I'm sleeping in beds of silk and they're fanning me and they'll give me nice food cooking gear. Whatever comes along, I go, I said this, my karma. Whatever is destined to happen will happen. Why should I endeavor? Why should I endeavor to try to reduce the problems of life and endeavor to get the happiness in life when it's already destined? I can't avoid it. You make an experiment, you say, today I'm not going to be happy. You won't be able to do it. Sometimes you're going to be happy and laugh and something like that. It's going to come as your reactions of your karma comes, then you're going to experience it. So something of happiness and then distress, then you have to suffer, then you have to enjoy it. There's results. That's all that goes on in the material world. So it's an illusion to think that if I improve my the external surroundings, then I'll be happier. But that's our conditioning. That's what Maya is saying. Maya is promising, yes, you get this and you'll be happy. You eat this, you'll be happy. You touch this, you'll be happy. You see this, you'll be happy. It will satisfy you. So that's already there. The false ego is telling us that, yes, I want to be happy. And I think I can control it and do it. This is the false ego. Then Maya is offering all these things, and on top of Maya, you've got everyone else doing it. You've got your whole advertising industry out there. Yes, you can be happy. You can enjoy the senses. You are the body. You are the senses. And the purpose of life is to reduce the problems and enjoy it. And that's what your government is saying. Our government. That's what our scientists have promised us. They're going to achieve that in the future. That's what your educational institutions are promising. You go through the system, you come out, you have all these titles, letters after your name. And then you can get with that, you can get a really good job and a lot of money, then you can get more facilities. Be happy. Isn't it? So that's it, there's no ideology. Just sense gratification in the West. Just in how to be happy in life. That's all. But they don't understand it. The external arrangement won't change your situation, it won't reduce your unhappiness or enhance your happiness. It's fixed. It's not exactly rigid karma. When a plane crashes, it may not be all those people's destiny to die at exactly the same time, all 300 people exactly the same moment. But then the next life, they can live a little longer, a little shorter. It's not that time, it's Krishna's programming. But otherwise, it's more or less fixed. Otherwise, what is material life then? You're just coming here to receive the results of your previous activities, isn't it? That's karma. And that's the mechanics of the material world. So Prahlad said, why you should endeavor for something which is coming automatically, happiness? Why you should endeavor to offset the problems which will come anyway? You can't stop them. By material arrangement, you can't stop them coming. Right? Someone did a survey of the top 10 people in the world. 1950s or something like that. Millionaires, billionaires, whatever. Half of them, a few of them committed suicide. Some of them, some of the problems they have. They're not really happy. It doesn't mean those people were successful and happy. So it doesn't actually work like the dream that we're being taught in our educational systems. The end of the road is old age and death and disease. The end of life is suffering. That's fixed. How you go through life, whether you're successful or unsuccessful, whether you make it or you don't make it, whether you're rich or... But one thing is guaranteed, you may be, you may not, but one thing is guaranteed. You've got to leave it all behind, whatever it is. And you won't want to when you leave. Help me. Nobody wants to die. No, your whole body is like, all screwed up. You know, apple. You can't. All you can do is breathe, and that's a struggle. There. So for us, for the devotees, then now you can really surrender to Krishna. Now you get realization, direct perception, I am dependent on Krishna. That time you realize. Although the realizations come very quick in the last couple of weeks. Now we're young, strong, sensitive, we're the doers, Krishna or not, we don't care what they do, but we're always dependent on Krishna. But now we don't realize it because we're energetic. But when that ability is taken away and Krishna takes that ability away, then we realize we were always dependent on Krishna. But we were using his ability that he gave us and we were thinking we were independent. But now that ability has been withdrawn by his energy of time, we realize we aren't dependent on him. Always will depend on him. But the realization will come that time, the devotees. Then you can surrender to Krishna. You can do it now, but we don't. Something won't let us. That independent spirit won't let us complete his end. But at that time, it'll be easy to surrender to Krishna. So the last couple of weeks of our life, if we've done, then you'll get that. You'll get peaceful initially. Because you realize nothing you can do, no one's going to help you now, except the mercy. Then you get attachment to Krishna. Because if you have no other shelter, then you get Bhagavan and you get Brahma. We hope. All the pretty quick, at least you don't get it this life, you take birth in Braj. When Krishna's appearing in some universe. And get it all then. So the devotee tolerates all these reverses as Krishna's mercy. Whether it's karma or whether it's directly Krishna, it doesn't really matter. Because the reverses in life, what are they for? They're to tell us that we can't be comfortable here. Durga Devi has that tree sword, trained. Adiyatni Gari Devi Gari Bodhi. And she won't let us be comfortable. There's no resting place for the soul in the material world. How long can you only stay 100 years in any body, in any place? Max. So she's always pushing. And she's saying, don't, they're her business. She's a Vaishnavi. But it's a thankless task. She has to poke the living end of this body and say, don't stay here. Go back. You can't stay here. I'm not going to leave you comfortable. And the more we resist, then the more it hurts. Right? If someone's poking you with a fork and you're trying to resist, it's going to hurt more. So if you go away from it, then it's better. But that's what she did. Go back to Krishna. Don't stay here. Go to Krishna. Go back. Go back to Godhead. Don't try to stay here. You're wasting your time. You can't overpower me. I'm tired. 10 arms. You're tired. And you're a tiny little thing down there. Don't think you can defeat me. Don't think you can control me. Give up that idea. Not can you enjoy me. I'm great chaste. I'm sati. Shiva can enjoy me. You can enjoy me. You're a tiny little thing. Don't try to enjoy me. Don't try to control me. That's our mentality. We're trying to enjoy Durga, trying to control Durga. That is Maya. So therefore we suffer. So knowing this, then the devotee should understand, okay, whether it's Krishna's mercy or whether it's Krishna directly or Maya, it's the same thing. It means the same thing. He wants us to, he's reminding us that, don't look for satisfaction here. What we're looking for is not in the material world. Don't look here. So whether it's Krishna or Maya, it's the same thing. The Maya is Krishna's Shakti. So it's indirectly it's Krishna. So for the pure devotee, it's directly Krishna. For us, we can say it's Maya. For ourselves, we can say it's Maya. But for each individual, we say it's Maya. But in any case, who is Maya? She's Krishna's energy. She's a pure devotee of Krishna. So it's Krishna, in that sense. So then, one has to just tolerate that. What can you do? You can't stop old age. You can't stop disease. You can't stop death. And you can't stop rebirth. Krishna can. When he accepts us to take us out of this material world by his grace, then so that's the process how to get these, evoke his mercy. So all the time we're tolerating the things, and then hoping, just waiting for Krishna's mercy. At the same time, we're engaging in putting ourselves in the best situation to being in the material world, which is serving Krishna, always remembering Krishna, chanting Krishna, hearing about Krishna, serving the deity, surrendering to Krishna, offering prayers, Guru, Prabhupada, all those nine different devotional service. That's the best thing to do while we're going back to Godhead. Tolerate those things as much as possible. Of course, you have to dress in one or two. When it's too cold, you put your jacket on, of course. Not that you don't. When you're hungry, you eat. Obviously, you can't deny them. But as much as possible, that means simple life. As much as necessary. What's easy for us to do, we do that. Simplify our living. Then we're not wasting all that energy in trying to improve our condition and in trying to, when we feel a little secure, then spending all that energy, all that time going out to enjoy on Saturday night, wasting the whole night trying to enjoy it. See, so much time you're saving. At that time you can be doing bhajan to Krishna, serving Krishna. And that's reality. That's what we're supposed to be doing. So that's a very important instruction. So that is the devotee tolerates all of those conditions, seeking the compassion of Krishna, the mercy of Krishna, and at the same time always engaging in devotional service. So this person becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. Yes, he's behaving properly. He's doing exactly what my devotees are telling him to do. Take him, he'll come back. Right? Perfect person. So then you see the punishment as a favour. It's meant to correct us. It's not actually a punishment. It's meant for correction. To bring us to the right path. And whatever the punishment we're getting, if it's coming from Krishna, here, this is what we're saying, it can't be compared to any kind of chastisement which is given by our so-called relatives, etc., etc., because it's coming from the Lord. So whatever the Lord does is good. Whether he praises us or punishes us, it's always beneficial. You see that again and again in the histories. Whatever he does, they always benefit. Bali was a ruler, but up here, but then he became the ruler of Bilbaswan, which is like a heavenly planet. And that's happened then. So he actually got a better position for a while. And the Lord was posting there, he could have darshan of the Lord whenever he wanted. So that is the. And you see that the demons that get killed by Krishna, they attain liberation. Pitana got to be a nurse of Krishna. So even if Krishna kills, it's the greatest benediction. Whatever Krishna does is always for the benefit. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. Jaya Sri Bhagavatam ki jaya, Bhagavatam ki jaya. Sri Prabhupada ki jaya, Hare Krishna. Any comments, questions on this? In this subject matter?
You mentioned that so sometimes it's promised when people worship God that you will live like many thousands of years. But is it relative time, or do they really feel like they're living for a million years, or they feel like they live 100 years?
100.
Yeah.
They feel like 100. Same as us. It's all relative. If we were living for 10,000 years, what difference would it make? How would we know? Our lifespan has turned out like it was in the previous 2 years. We lived 10,000 years. But then the dogs, they would also live for 500 years or so. Now they only live for 70 years or 14 years. And the insects, they would also probably live for a long time. So it's all relative, it doesn't really mean much. then he lived for 100 years, then it would seem like. So they're thinking, the human beings, who would want to be a human being? The human being of a human being means, would you like to go to this place? You're born and you only live for 3 months. And 1 month you're just, you know, you're just, you know, first week you're useless. You can't do anything yourself, practically. At least the first 5 days you can't do anything yourself. You have to be mothered, and then the next week you're just playing, and then next couple of weeks you're doing education, and then that's 1 month gone, and the other month you're working and trying to get some stability, and then the next month, and then you get into household life and expansions, and then the next month you start to get old, and you're trying to hang on and trying to make it, but you're still taking away 3 months. Would you like to go to that place? So that material world is like that. We live for 100 years, say 90 years. One day here is a year there. So they live for 10,000 years. So one day is like 3 months, one of their days is like, yeah, one of their lifetimes. They see our life is like 3 months in their lifetime. So relatively speaking, what a horrible situation we're in. But because we can't see from that angle, we think life's okay, it's a long life, we've got a lot to do, there's a lot of time, we can do so much, achieve so much, enjoy so much, right? We can make so much. And then there's the insects that probably they're born in the day, and then the next day they're dead. Their whole lifespan is one day. Within that time, they do something, they produce, lay some eggs, and whatever happens. One day. It's 24 hours, that's 100 years for them. That's their consciousness is like that. It's covered. So it's all relative. So they do.
A few weeks ago, we have a discussion also on Bhagavatam. One devotee is claiming he said that advanced devotees, they always feel and see that everything that's happening is Krishna's arrangement. And from other side, as you said, we know that the laws of karma are functioning. So I was saying that if I get a cancer, I will not say it's Krishna's arrangement, it's my karma, but from other side they said it's all Krishna's arrangement. So how you see these things? This.
We can say when I'm suffering it's Krishna's mercy, when I'm enjoying this, Krishna's mercy, when I'm suffering it's my karma. It doesn't really matter, does it? It doesn't really matter. And we won't know anyway. But on that level of devotion, when they're actually, this is, you know, I mean, super advanced platform, you know, in the Bhava, then they're talking to Krishna, they're seeing Krishna in everything. Then they're relating to everything that's coming from Krishna. Why are you doing that, Krishna? Does this happen to me? why are you making me? Why are you doing this to me, Krishna? What are you trying to say? And it'd be like that. That means when you actually establish a relationship with Krishna, very, very exalted. Then they see everything, Krishna and everything like that. But that's very, very exalted. Otherwise, you see most of the acharyas are saying, they come due to my sinful activities. They're saying like that. But those devotees are totally in evolved in understanding their actual relationship with Krishna, then they may speak like that. Buddha Monkha Thakura. But it really doesn't make a difference. We're not going to know, we can't know. But even if you know, it doesn't make a difference because, you know, we know what the purpose is. It's like, when you take initiation, the spiritual master takes most of your karma. it leaves a residue there, a little bit there, just to keep us on our toes. Because it means, but when a person accepts a spiritual master, it means they're serious about spiritual life. They want to be done with material life, they want to go back to Godhead, they want to serve Krishna and with love and affection. That's our actual paradigm now. That's our. We may want a lot of other things. We may think we need a lot of other things on the way. There may be a lot of issues that we need to address on the way. We can't just deny them, eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We may not be able to deny those things, but ultimately this is what we want. We want to become a pure devotee of Krishna and all that in the spiritual world. So that's your subtle body changes at the time of initiation. Opposite that. So that's your actual goal now. This is what you actually want. But in between you can get so distracted by it. When I was different karmas, karma different things, we're so distracted we often lose sight of the actual goal. But when we wake up, this is what we're actually doing, we go for that. So we keep getting distracted, we keep getting off the path, etc., etc. But that's what we want. So then, as long as we like that, Krishna says this is Mahatma. So even if it falls down, he doesn't take it so seriously, because he's not staying down. He's getting back and he's continuing. So that's not a serious thing. But the fact that one is fixed. And he's determined, this is what I want. It's fixed in consciousness, fixed in his determination. Then you don't need slaps from Maya. Therefore, your karma is reduced. You don't need it. Not the reverses. Krishna's so kind, he lets your results of your pious activities come so you can enjoy it. But the results of your impious activities, They're meant to tell us, you're not the enjoyer, you're not the controller, you're not supposed to be here. You already know that. We've already understood that. And we're following the process. We've understood, so there's no need for that. So that's why, they say when you fall down and cut your finger, actually I should have broken my arm. Actually you should have done. But it's not necessary to have a big kick, because you're already on the way. You only need a little bit of my. You don't need such a big whack, you see. So that's what it means when your karma is modified or taken away. It's not necessary. So, but Krishna may be giving some encouragement to get back on, to be more strict or more sincere or. We can miss the goal, but we're not convinced of what a mess we're in the material world. That we're not convinced about what a suffering condition the part of the soul is in this body. Not like a robot, feed me, clothe me, pamper me. Hard work for the tiny little soul, tiny inside there. To move this, care for this monster. Which is all these demands which is making all that, and that keeps us busy all day. How can we remember Krishna? No, this is more important. Feed me, it's more important to feed me, more important to sleep me, more important to make me feel nice things and touch nice things and see them. We spend it all, it's taking all our energy to. It's a horrible situation for the body itself, the Buddha. So at least, so we know what to do, we take in the medicine, then you don't need it. We have this information. You don't need so many hard knots, hard whips. Get back on the path. Get back. Get back on the path, you rascal. You don't need that because you're on the path, you see. What's that? You're on the path. You don't need that. You don't need to be pushed. And you're going. You're going. You're going ahead of Maya. You don't need these things. You're already ahead. She's not judging you. When you stop or go away, then she judges you. When you go, then there's no need. So therefore the karma is very much reduced. You just get a token of what we're supposed to be experiencing. But like I say, Krishna is so kind, the good reactions, he'll let you enjoy. But don't get get swept away by the good times. Okay? So, Bhagavatam ki jai, Sukhotam ki jai. Thank you.